Hello, hello. This is Yuri with Moving Sales Professionals. We're here for another episode of our podcast. And with me today, I have Vince Barano, former vice president of sales for JK Commercial, currently an author, a speaker, a mentor, an overall jack of all trades. Welcome, Vince Barano. How you doing, Vince?
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm really appreciate the opportunity to be on the podcast.
Great, great. We'd love to have you. Love to have you. So how many years overall would you say you have been in the moving industry so far?
Overall, a little over 10 years. I had two stints. My last was with JK Moving, as you said. And a number of years before that, I spent about 2.5 years with a company now is defunct. It was Office Movers, a cane company in the Virginia, D.C. area.
Okay. Yeah. I used to drive by their warehouse, I think. Like it was right on 95. You could see it.
Yes, it was. Yep. Had a big.
Yeah, the building is still there.
The
building's still there. I drive past that every time I go towards DC.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. And so you recently left the moving industry. So what are you doing now?
Well, now I'm working for myself, doing consulting. Many of the clients that I have are in the moving and storage industry. So although I'm not employed by someone, I'm still attached to that industry because I've got some expertise there. And I spend a lot of time helping business owners develop leadership and sales training programs to ensure that their team members are prepared for the future of sales.
Okay. It might be a good idea to have you stop by our office at some point, especially since you're not terribly far from us once in a while, right?
Yes.
Okay, great. We'll talk about that. So how did you start your career in sales?
That's a great question. So I went to undergraduate school. I was looking for a major and I really got interested in philosophy. And originally it was political science and it was philosophy. And I picked up on it because a friend of mine said, hey, if you have an interest in going to law school, which I did, putting philosophy down will be a little bit different than the typical history, poli sci, or English. The problem was when I graduated and I wasn't quite ready to go to law school, I had some limited opportunities. And back in the day, you used to get newspapers, you know, lay them out on the kitchen table to job search. And every morning, my father would come by and go, hey, anybody hiring any philosophers today? So with that, yeah, I always tell that story. He hates it, but it's true. It impacted me for life. I saw some opportunities for sales. And what I learned was that a lot of the things I learned in school, writing, speaking to people, constructing arguments, you know, reasoning, applied in sales. And I got a sales job and did well at it, had others, and that became my career. So I fell into it.
Yeah, I kind of fell into that too when I was 18. So yes, I can relate. And then ironically enough, I went to school. I got my degree from University of Pittsburgh, which was in like corporate and community relations. I actually did think about going to law school, but I ended up not going.
Yep.
I didn't start using to the full extent my degree and what I learned in school until I opened Moving Sales Professionals. So ironically enough, it's come a full circle in a lot of ways.
That's
right. So can you tell me a little bit more about your experience working in the commercial moving industry?
Well, that's a great question. When I worked for Office Movers, which, as I mentioned, is now defunct, they were at the time probably one of the largest commercial-only moving companies in the United States. It was very interesting. It taught me a lot about culture. And unfortunately, you had a situation there where operations, administration, and sales, I think it was designed to keep them all fighting so that the owner and senior leadership could keep a good handle on everybody. And although, you know, at the time we had some success, they eventually, you know, fell apart. Much different than my experience at JK Moving, where we had a great culture and you had those different groups all working together. And there was a great philosophy that everybody in the organization is a mover, but you also have other roles. And in my case, there was more than one occasion where we had a client that had, I don't know, an emergency. Like I can remember one where they had a broken pipe and water running down through the floors of their building. Mm-hmm. And I grabbed people from the warehouse and got in my car. I'm the general manager. We were all out there loading up commercial bins, putting furniture on dollies, wiping things off for this client. It's a very important client. And they said they've never even heard where the management team or people from accounting would be called upon to come out. And, you know, as we were getting other resources together to help them on a moment's notice. And that taught me a lot, because when you work with people like that, you can move mountains.
Right. And that is so huge. That's exactly what we're trying to do, is really to that's like culture is more important for, even though we are obviously a sales organization. Obviously, our goal is to book jobs for moving companies. Right. That's what we do. But to me, I want you to be a good salesperson and a good team person.
Right.
If you're a great salesperson, but frankly, your team orient sucks, you're probably not going to stick here. I had to fire somebody that was with us for 3 years, over 3 years, that was with us in the beginning when we just opened, that did not support the culture.
Yeah.
To me, it's extremely important that the new people, when they come in, while they're still trying to understand where they are and what they're doing and what the whole point is, and just in general, I want them to feel welcome. I want them to feel like they can come to anybody here and ask them a question and get that support that's so important. And this person did not do that. And that really affected things. And even after we send a pretty clear message that that was not okay, the person did not stop. Yeah. So that, like, at that point, you know, even no matter how good that salesperson is individually, you know, she's hurting the collective. She's hurting the group as a whole. And, you know, one thing you definitely don't want is a cancer in the office, because it's going to deteriorate the other people. It's going to hurt the new people that are coming in from staying and things like that. That's extremely important. But
there's a great quote about that. And it says, it's not what you say, it's what you tolerate. And to your point, when other people see that you tolerate it because they're a high performer in some ways, but they're sucking the wind out of the sails in other ways, people believe that that's what's acceptable. And I'm a huge fan of the idea in hiring people that you go for cultural fit and smarts. And smarts is not in, like, super intelligent. It's the capacity and desire to want to learn. So if you get the right person on the island, and they're willing to learn, you've got an ideal employee as compared to hiring for skills and finding out that their cultural mix is faulty.
Right. That's one of the things that we definitely want to do. And it's actually funny that you said that, because one of the people that I've also interviewed recently, I'm not sure if this was this week or last week, but one of them said basically the same exact thing, maybe not in those exact words, but it was pretty close to what you just said. And yeah, that's so huge. It's culture. It's one of those things that you need to grow, and you need to have anybody that's new, that's joining your island, you know, that they support that and they grow with it. And because that's, I mean, realistically, we're all really as strong as our weakest link.
Correct.
So that's, and the question is, once again, it's not, you shouldn't have to tolerate, you know, that's.
Well, as Peter Drucker, who's the, father of modern management science, once said, he said, culture eats strategy for breakfast. In other words, you can have whatever plan you want to put together, and it might be brilliant, but if your culture has issues, you'll never be able to implement any plan, no matter how brilliant it is. So yes, to your point, you have to start with the people. The people are what makes your business either successful or not.
Absolutely. I agree with that. Now, obviously, hearing Vince talk about things, you know there's some book writing happening somewhere. And yes. In fact, he has written a few books on sales. How did that come about?
So, yes, I wrote my first book, A Daily Dose of Sales Wisdom, because I had decided it was a bucket list item. I always had wanted to write a book. And so a few years ago, I decided, and for the first time, I had a New Year's resolution I actually followed through on. I went out and bought a journal from a local bookstore. And every day, starting on January 1st, I spent 10 or 15 minutes making some notes. And I did that for many, many months until I had a lot of stories written down that then I started to organize. And then I self-published the book. And I was fortunate to get help from somebody who was very talented to help me bring all of these ideas together. And I know this is going to sound arrogant. I don't mean it that way, but I really wrote it for myself. I wanted to show myself that I could do that. I always had this image of, writing a book as a bit of a legacy. The funny thing was, is that the next book came pretty quick after that. And my publisher told me, she goes, that is often what happens. You know, the first one's like giving birth to a rhinoceros. And then the other ones start flowing after that. So I actually have a book with a friend of mine that'll be coming out in about a month or so. And it is on sales, but it's not for salespeople. It's actually for attorneys. And it's called I'm Not in Sales, I'm a Lawyer. And it's about developing a business development mindset. And even people who don't have sales in their title, we're all salespeople. We're all in the business of selling ourselves, our ideas,
to a degree, yeah.
Businesses, right? But you have people who look down on salespeople. They look down on sales professionals as like they're all, you know, shark sport coat standing on the side of a dirt road selling used cars. This is not the case. We are the engine of the economy. And we
that
need
is very
to rise
true.
Up.
You know? So obviously you told me about the new writing projects. So what do you think is among the most important things that sales professionals should be doing but routinely do not do?
That's an easy one. It's follow-up. I spend more time talking and investigating the behaviors of salespeople. And I recently did a secret shopper for one of my clients, and where we, you know, interviewed other movers.
Mm-hmm.
And it was amazing. Not a single one of the five that we had gotten proposals from, after they emailed the proposal, called to follow up with the prospect. And this is not the first time I've seen this.
I would love to have you do one for us, because we'll talk about that. But that's one of the, obviously, follow-ups is a huge focus of ours. It's something that we talk about every day, 50 times a day, consistently. Right. And it's huge, because obviously a lot of our clients buy leads. Not all of our clients have been, I mean, we have companies that have been around for 20, 30, you know, that may have obviously enough of repeat customers and referrals and organic stuff that's coming in. But then there's still plenty of people that do buy leads these days. So obviously those people with them buying leads, they want to get the maximum amount of profit coming back, minus what they spend on leads, minus what they pay us, for example, right? So follow-up is the number one thing that has to be done with that. If you don't do the follow-up, you're not going to book these jobs, because realistically, probably 90%, if not more, of the jobs that we book come off follow-up. They do not come off first call close.
That's right. And it's funny that you mentioned that. So I've done some secret shopper activities maybe now like four times in three different cities. And of all the people that we've reached out to, less than one or two salespeople actually followed up at least once. And once sometimes is not enough. You know this.
I do three times.
And nobody's done it three times. Maybe one person's done it twice, and maybe two.
Well, you and I are
going
to be talking, so we're going to after this we're going to talk and we're going to do this, and we're going to have Vince right now. I'm telling you, we're going to have Vince on again, maybe for something that's a little shorter. But basically, I want him to do one of these for us, and basically do another recording where he reports on what he's discovered. This is going to be a real thing.
Great.
I'm not going to, you know, like,
no.
I want to hear it. I want our listeners to hear this. So this is great. So we talked about that. I mean, obviously, once again, a lot of the stuff that we've talked about, it all to me falls on follow-up, because greater success comes with follow-up. Because to me, how should I put this? You don't want to get to the point of harassment, but there's a fine line that I'm okay if my salespeople flirt with it. I don't want them to go over it full blown, because at that point, you know, now you're getting too far. But there's a fine line. And realistically, one of the things that moving companies do need to understand too is that it is a lot about the opportunities that you give, whether it's to your sales staff or whether if you're working with us to our salespeople. Because realistically, here's the reality. If you're giving us, let's say hypothetically, you're giving me 20 leads a day to call, right? Keep in mind, out of 20 leads, you're going to have 10 to 20% at least. And this is past, not this year. This year it's more. But 10 to 20% of that is going to be junk.
Yep.
Okay. On top of that, you're going to probably have at least another 10%, assuming you reach them, that are going to be wanting to spend $100, $200 to move one item. Okay. So you're probably, unless you're doing something different, if you're focusing on bigger moves, you're probably not going to take those. Okay, that's the reality, unless you group them all like two deep, three deep, four deep, whatever. And not every moving company does that realistically. Okay. And then on top of that, out of what's left, let's say you have at that point, you're down to, let's say, I don't know, 12 leads, 13 leads, right? Out of those 13 leads, if you get half of them on the phone, that first phone call, you did good, realistically. So, if you don't follow up, all of those other ones that you did not reach, not to mention those ones that you did reach and did do inventories, because realistically, if you don't call them, somebody else will. And that's really the difference between using us as your sales team versus majority of the moving companies that are out there. Because here's the reality. Moving companies, and I'm not talking about everybody. Of course, there are exceptions to this rule. But generally speaking, moving companies, they're good at hiring movers. That's their specialty, right? But yep. Salespeople are very unique. They're very quirky. They're very, let's put it this way. There's days where I have to be Dr. Phil, okay, for my sales staff. There's days that I have to do that. You know, because I have to get them off the ledge. There might be that one customer that just really managed to turn their button or whatever, you know, and that's the kind of thing that you have to work on. So there's a lot of different things that are involved in it that are not involved with movers, for example.
Well, they also constitute a much smaller percent of your group. So if you look at a moving company, for example, to your mm-hmm. point, you right. might have 20, 30, 40 movers. You know, you have crews, you have supervisors. You might even have project managers. You have a bit of an organization, but you, on the flip side, you may only have 3 salespeople. So they might not even have dedicated management to oversee them. It mm-hmm. might be like the owner or one of the, you know, somebody else in the organization kind of keeps an eye on them. It's not the best structure. Salespeople need to be seen as an investment, and there right. needs to be absolutely. A return on investment. And if you're not going to put forth the time and energy and effort, then maybe you shouldn't have a dedicated sales team, my humble opinion.
Right.
There might be other ways to do it, because I'll tell you this, a lot of people hire people for sales, and those people have no business being in sales.
Right.
And I've actually now used a more scientific approach with personality tests to not only evaluate your current staff, but before you hire somebody, even if they interview great, to give them a test. And on numerous occasions, it's come back and said, this person is not a sales hunter. You know, you're looking for a hunter, someone to go get new accounts.
Absolutely.
And then you'll get the test back and it'll say, this is the last thing this person should do. They should be in customer service.
Right.
Now, you like them. They, you know what I'm saying? They look.
You want somebody, not only are they a hunter, they enjoy the hunt.
That's right.
They enjoy the process, because it's like the ones that enjoy the process and they enjoy, okay, well, today I'm going to call this group of people between 9 o'clock and 10 o'clock. Tomorrow I'm going to call the same group of people between 12 and 1 and so on. Yeah. It's people that are not only are they focused on the actual booking and the actual whatever, they're strategic about how they handle their follow-ups. They're strategic about how they handle the process. It's not, I mean, honestly, at this point, and you know, one of these days I probably will write a book about it, but you know, it's definitely a science. It's definitely, and it takes specific, I think in a lot of ways, it takes a specific mindset.
Well, I agree partway with you. One of my books, I talk about selling as being both science and art. It's a combination. And here's the distinction I make. If you've ever done any baking, that you have to follow instructions,
right,
or you don't get a cake.
Ingredients.
But if you and I are hanging out and we're going to make chili for our friends, we're going to come over and watch a game, we can throw anything into chili, right?
Right.
And that's cooking. In cooking, you have a lot more flexibility. So selling has both these elements of art as well as science, and it's understanding which things are process-driven. You have to do in a certain order. And then there's the art where you can bring your own creativity in. And
the art of sales war.
Where you get that. Huh?
The art of sales war.
Yeah. Hey, yeah. That'd be a good title for your book.
It would, right?
You better get that with the publisher, get that saved so somebody, you know, doesn't steal it on you.
Yeah. If you have a good publisher, let me know.
I will. I'll send you a note.
I just might. I was actually just telling my wife that the other day too, is that, you know, one of these days I'll, you know, once people actually know me, I might actually write something like that.
Yeah.
It would be fun. But anyway, we could be talking about this for a lot, and you and I will certainly talk about the personality test, because we already talked about that, and I do want to take a look at that. And we will certainly talk more about the secret shopper, because I think that would be interesting to see how we compare to some of the places that you've shopped, just out of personal curiosity, how might people compare. But that is awesome. Once again, thank you so much. I think this was very, very precise and definitely more sales oriented. Sometimes I don't know in which direction these are going to go, and we go with a flow of things. Like, I mean, so this was interesting. This was fun. So as I always say, the world moves on its own. Let the professional move yours for you. And once again, Vince, thank you so much for joining us for this podcast. It's been a pleasure. We will talk to you soon. And guys, please continue watching our podcast. Please look into Vince's books. Once again, can you name those for us?
Yes, it's A Daily Dose of Sales Wisdom and the New Sales Professionals Playbook. And they're both available on Barnes & Noble or Amazon.
Okay, if you could email me those links, and I'll go ahead and put them below this podcast, so we can provide that for people to click on if they want to purchase and what have you. But once again, thank you very much, guys, for joining us for this podcast. And we'll see you all soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.